Today, we're going to talk about love songs. I always liked songs like this growing up. Little Richard Marx. I wanted to be a power ballad guy. And I was a little chubby kid without a lot of social skills. I started playing piano when I was really, really young. Because I have a hard time telling the difference between comedy and real. And when I say real, I mean when people get like sad and cry. Like the songs that make people cry and get emotional, to me, many times are more insane and comedic than the ones that I play in clubs today that we can talk about. We're going to do a fun tour today. I'm excited. This is going to be a good time. I'm touring right now, by the way, owenbenjamin.com/tour. I'm doing the whole Northeast. All right, let's start with Celine Dion. So remember this one? No, it's like... Every night in my dreams, I fucking see you. I feel you. I can't sing that high, so I just made a parody of it. But basically, she's saying her heart will go on. You know, every night in her dreams, she sees him and feels him. I don't know if it's based on it, but Titanic made that song huge. I mean, during the late 90s and most of the 2000s, you couldn't turn on the radio without hearing that. That insane flute that would always play. So I wrote my own one that always gets laughs, but I think mine's more realistic. It goes, women thought it was romantic when Jack and Rose sank on the Titanic. Even though there was clearly plenty of room on that thing for DiCaprio. But he wanted to bail, so he let go. She said, hold on, Jack. He said, nah, I'm good. I gotta bounce. I'd grab an Uber if I could. It keeps going on and on. The song's about romance movies. I kind of make fun of romance movies. But, I mean, it's clear that Jack could have floated on the raft. I think the Celine Dion song's funnier. But she never gets a laugh. People just start crying. And then, of course, we got the stalker versions of hit songs like The Police. Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you. That's about a stalker. That's about someone who's spying on a woman that he feels he owns. I think when the Police wrote that, that's their intention. They had that in mind, was like, this is a creepy song. And then people thought it was really romantic. And then, of course, the newest stalk love song. And bear in mind, I like a lot of these songs. I'm not trying to be a dick. But Adele, which I thought her name was Adelaide until way too into her career. I was like, I really like Adelaide. Everyone's like, that's Adele. And I'm like, oh, I'm really sorry. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you. Don't forget me, oh babe. I'll remember what you said. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. What's another thing she says? It isn't over. Just imagine a man saying that. For me, it isn't over. It's not over for me. Never mind, I'll fucking find someone like you, bitch. It's really creepy. And also, I don't know if anyone's ever thought about how much it would suck to be Adele's current guy when he realizes that he looks and acts a lot like her ex, and then he realizes he's a replacement. To me, that's really funny. But people cry when they hear that song. This is a song I wrote that gets laughs on stage. I wrote this in high school.
way back in the day. I knew it was funny. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I know when something's funny, but I would just write something that's completely realistic that to me is just as absurd. It's less absurd than this shit. This is what I wrote, and I used to do this on stage. Light on the sugar, light on the cream. Give me a manager special and a Boston cream. It's 3 a.m. and the bars are closed. Me and my friends are wasted. We got nowhere to go. Your name tag says Heather. Well, my friends call me Big O, but the look in your eyes is telling me that you want me to go. Cause you accuse me of stealing the napkin dispenser and peeing on the floor. Well, what if I did? But what if I loved you, Dunkin' Donuts girl? You get the idea. That part of the reason that's funny is because it unfolds. It doesn't start with Dunkin' Donuts girl. There's a little hints like Boston cream, you know, light on the sugar. But you don't realize that it's just a drunk man confessing his love to a complete stranger working at Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, I mean, to me, that's more believable. It's more innocent and it's less psychotic than either of those other two quote unquote love songs. If you go old school, it's like,
when a man loves a woman, na 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 na.
That's it.
When a man loves a woman,
he's thrown out in the rain or some shit. It's called When a Man Loves a Woman. I've written a couple. I think When a Man Loves a Woman, you know, kind of excludes gay people. These are some funny songs I do, quote unquote funny, but I find these more believable.
Gay people are called gay because they're so freaking happy. They get to fuck the gender they understand.
Yeah, I mean, that's to me straight up real. Gay people, if they date people their size, can wear their lover's clothing. My girl's 5'5", I'm 6'7". I can't wear her clothes, and she can't wear mine. So, I don't know. I just think that's a real plus if you're gay. I actually, Taylor Swift, you'd think I'd make fun of? No. I think some of hers are a little more realistic. Like, Romeo, take me somewhere we can be alone. I'll be waiting. All there's left to do is run. You'll be the prince and I'll be the princess. It's a love story, baby, just say yes. I get that. She understood, like, the context of the song is Romeo and Juliet, which means she already knows that everything she's saying won't last because it's in context, and so she can have this whimsical love story. And I like that because it's set in reality. I think a lot of country songs are more set in reality. I think the separation between country and comedy is very small. Sometimes when I'm on stage and people yell out, do a country song, it's hard to mock because it's too honest. Like, I'll give you an example. This is a classic.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I could have. If I made you feel second best, girl, I'm sorry I was blind. You were always on my
That's so honest. It's amazing. He's basically saying, listen, I could have loved you more. I'm sorry I didn't. But if it makes you feel any better, you are always on my mind. And to me, that's an unbelievably powerful thing to say to someone. Like, through all the good, all the bad, did I have, like, whiskey benders where I didn't come home? Yeah. Did I fall asleep in a field? Yes, I did. But you were still right there with me, and that's the definition of love. It's like, no matter, we're all flawed as fuck. Celine Dion doesn't know flawed if it bit her in her pompous ass. Willie Nelson does. The funniest part, though, if you guys want to listen to that, like, get the actual recording on YouTube or something, where it's like, Willie has this female backup singer who's super passive-aggressive. Like, it's like, maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. I don't know if she does it there, but it's like, or I know when he goes, and if I made you feel second best, and in the background you hear this woman just go, yes, you did, yes, you did. It's the funniest thing you'll ever fucking hear. Basically, I don't think she does it with the first line, but it's like, maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. And having a girl in the background just go,
if I made you feel second best, girl, I'm sorry
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You should have loved me more. Yeah. It's great. Okay, so this is a song I wrote called How to Love a Woman. This, to me, is very honest. And if you ever see me live, it will always get big laughs, which puzzles me to no end. This is called How to Love a Woman. Dress really nice, but at the same time, look like you don't try. Listen like a woman, but still act like a guy. Make lots of money, but still have free time in your day. Notice her hair and her shoes, but not in a gay way. To love a woman, to be her partner in crime, to really love a woman, you gotta be two people at the same frickin' time. Give her her space, but at the same time make her feel needed. Be confident, but don't act conceited. She is in charge, but still you make the decisions. Kiss like a prince, but fuck her like you just left prison. And that's how you love a woman. This is a song called How to Love a Man. Feed him and fuck him, repeat until he's dead. To me, those are very honest songs, and there's science behind it. Women want you to be two men because they ovulate 2-3 days a month and the rest of the time they don't. So what they want in a man changes significantly based on whether or not they're pumped full of estrogen or progesterone. These are the facts, guys. That doesn't mean they want multiple men. It means they want multiple yous. So when they're ovulating, they want you to make all the choices for them and take control and be a bit of a bully and have your jaw stick out a little farther and move furniture. And when they're not ovulating, they want you to concede, take a step back, be very thoughtful and loving, dress, you know, wear loafers. It makes sense for their survival. They want a good dad, which is beta, and they want a good procreator, which is alpha. They want the jizz of an alpha, and they want to be married to a beta. And that's the fact. And you can be both, guys. You just have to read the cues. Because a real man isn't just alpha. A real man is alpha and beta. You ever see like a man with a baby in his around his chest? That guy's not going to like be really aggressive and make a lot of hard line choices. Because if he does, his baby would die. So be beta. Being beta is one of the most manly things you can possibly do in certain situations. Is to step back and say, you're right. Even when you know they're not right. Just do that. And that makes you a fucking hero. And then other times, you got to really step up and carry someone out of a burning building, you know, spank her ass a little bit. Say we're eating Italian, I don't give a shit what you want. That'll turn them on if they're fucking ovulating. Any other time, it's abusive. So read the signs. Men are a lot easier to satisfy. It's about food, sex, and, you know, stability. We also can be with just one person. It's just that person has to keep our bellies full and our balls empty. And by the way, if a woman has the career and the guy's the one at home, doesn't matter. We still need our balls drained. You can pick whatever role you want. Like, I'm all for women in the workplace. The balls have to keep being drained. Thank you. I'm running for U.S. Senate. Okay, so how about this one? People, because I posted this on, by the way, you can email me at whydidn'ttheylaughpodcast@gmail.com or whydidn'ttheylaugh on Facebook. I just started a Facebook page. So I asked people what their favorite love songs were. That's where all this list came from.
Highway run onto the midnight sun. Wheels go round and round in my mind.
Yeah, that's a beautiful song, but the woman he was singing about, they got divorced 2 years later. All I'm saying is the bigger promise you make, the more it can be broken. What's a better way to put that? Beetles survive a nuclear winter. The peacock can have those big feathers because he doesn't have a lot of predators. Same with the birds of paradise in Papua New Guinea. The more threats you have, the more you have to just keep shit simple. And I'll tell you who does it the best. Black dudes. R&B is fucking gold because their promises they can keep.
I'll make love to you like you want me to. And I'll hold you tight, baby, all through the night. I'll make love to you like you want me to. And I won't let go till you tell me to.
Basically he's saying that he'll fuck her and he'll cuddle with her until she tells him to leave and then he's out. And I think that that is an unbelievably honest love song. Yeah, I mean, Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye, very honest. He's like, let's get it on. And you know what? I bet a lot of those dudes had more successful marriages. Because it's just, let's do this. It's like, yeah, I'll love you, totally, yeah, but this is what I'm saying right now. The exception to the black guy rule is Kanye West, that bitchy little troll. Like this song, in the night I hear him talk, coldest story ever told. He almost sounds... The words almost sound like, what's his name? Johnny Cash, when he was later in life. It's like, you can have it all. Over enunciating shit. To a woman so heartless. How could you be so heartless? How could you be so heartless? That's absurd. Kanye West, blaming women for being heartless and then having a music video where your cartoon self is just crying in the rain. It's like, come on, dude. We're not fucking nine. And then we have this chick, Christina Perry, Jar Full of Hearts. I didn't really know this song, but people kept writing on Facebook, so I figured it out. It goes,
who do you think?
I can do her.
Who do you think you are?
No, that's a little high for me, so I'll do a lower. You're tearing love apart.
Who do you think you are? Running around leaving scars. Collecting your jar of hearts. And tearing love.
I don't know.
Tearing love apart. You're gonna catch a cold. From the ice inside your soul. Don't come back for me.
And then what? So basically she's pissed at a guy who likes pussy, I guess. She's basically like, she fucked this guy and then clearly he wanted other ass. He's collecting his jar of hearts. Yeah, I mean, I get that. But if you dance with the devil, you know, if you marry a bear, you get bit. That's just a fact. And the fact she still is singing the song about it. There's probably 30 guys in that time that would have made great boyfriends that probably wanted to go out with her that she turned down because this guy was taller, wealthier, with a better jawline. So who does she think she is? Because if you're going to dance with the devil, you're going to get burned. And this is another thing. Guys crave ass, especially young guys. A combination of insecurity and testosterone surges. It's a fact. Women crave things. So one time I wrote a song trying to help women understand how it feels like to be a man. It's called What It's Like. Ladies, you know that feeling when you see a bag at the mall and you want it. Even though you already have one, you're literally holding one in your hand. It does the same thing as your current bag. It holds your cell phone, your wallet, and your other shit. But there's something about that one that you also want. I'll give you another example. When you're at the shoe store and you're like, I like those shoes, and I'm like, you're fucking wearing the same shoes, and you're like, I know, but I kind of want to know what it's like to be inside those other shoes. That's how we feel about vaginas. On a shopping spree together. Ha ha. I want that one and that one and that one. Let's see what I'm like inside that one and that one. Women are just as much of pigs as men. They just, it's for a much smaller percentage of the population because they can get pregnant. It's basically taking care of a bonsai tree versus throwing seeds in the wind. Men are more like growing wheat. Like the more seeds that hit the earth, the better, because some may grow. And women are like growing a bonsai tree because they actually have a baby inside their belly when they fuck. Bear in mind, your genetics do not know that condoms exist because our DNA is thousands of years old. Like, for example, women openly will have a crush where it's like, Justin Timberlake, let's go to his concert. And then the guy has to pay for the ticket and stand there and watch her watch him. And they're cool with it. A man asks his girl to go to Best Buy so they can look at the girl at Best Buy with the sweet ass. All of a sudden, he's the animal. Oh, this is one of the first love songs I ever wrote when I was a kid. Jenna Jameson, I love you, baby, because you're always there. You're just waiting for me in my VCR. Girl, I know you care. I can fast forward you if I want to, but when I see a great shot, I'll hit pause. You don't know what you give to me, Jenna. You're my porn star Santa Claus. Your titties take away all my pain. An Anorama 27. I could tell your face was numb from cocaine, but I would never judge you. Oh no, Jenna, I just kept loving you even more. You can be my Aphrodite. I would be your Thor, cause I love you like the sun loves the stars at night. And I'll just hit stop when I think that we're gonna fight. I love you like the moon loves the deep blue sea. And every time you're getting fucked doggy style, girl, you're just looking at me. My priest said porno is wrong and it's bad to masturbate. Well, he had a little lover who was about 8, so I never listened to that pedophile. Oh no, I just kept loving you even more. After we make love, Jenna Jameson, you never snore. You get the idea. To me, that was real. Bear in mind, if anybody's judging me on that one, I wrote that as a virgin. I was young. I was like, that's the only woman I've had contact with, was someone in my VCR. I'm like, I can't write a love song. There was a girl I had a crush in that played violin next to me. I gave her a shark tooth and ran away. That was my extent of dating by the time I wrote that song. All right, this one is by Poison. It goes... Oh. both lie sound asleep in the dead of the night. Though we both lie close together, we feel miles apart inside. Was it something I said or something I did? Did the words not come out right? I tried not to hurt you. No, I tried, but I guess that's why they say every rose has its thorn. Just like every night has its dawn. Just like every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Every rose has its thorn. You get the idea. I love that one. Because it's based around yin yang, ancient Eastern concepts of hot and cold. You know, every night has its dawn, every rose has its thorn. I don't understand the cowboy with the sad song, because when I picture cowboys, I think of a fuckload of sad songs. Yeah, and he's I also like that he doesn't know what he did, and the words may have come out wrong. I wrote my own song called Every Relationship from a Man's Point of View. Why are you mad? What did I do? Why won't you talk to me? We just woke up. I can't think of anything I could have done. Did you have another bad dream about me? You had a dream I cheated on you, and now you're mad in real life. Well, guess what? I had a dream I was getting raped by a clown. I'm not mad at clowns, 'cause I know it was just a dream. If you stay mad, that's fucking crazy. Yep, that to me is a very similar thing where it's like, what the hell did I do wrong? Oh, it's a dream? Okay, here's one that I always loved. I always loved this song until I realized how passive aggressive it is. Check this out. You are so beautiful to me. You are so beautiful. Okay, he's basically saying, you're so beautiful, but just to me. It's a real dickhead thing to say. If you really think about it, it's like, if that was a better written, if that was an honest song, maybe it is honest. It is honest. That's why I like it, I guess. It's like, you're so beautiful to me, to everyone else now. So I wrote my own comedy song. It goes, how's it go? It's hard right now to look in your eyes. Thought of you sad is enough to make me cry. Even though I'm walking away, I know I love you, but leaving is something I have to do. 'Cause you're a 7 and I deserve an 8. You're a 7. It's pretty good, but it's not great. I'm not asking for a 10 to be my mate, but I know in my heart that I deserve an 8. I actually think it was higher. It's hard right now to look in your eyes. That's it. The thought of you sad is enough to make me cry. Even though I'm walking away, I know I love you. But leaving is something I have to do, 'cause you're a 7, 7, and. It's been a while. I did that on my half-hour special in Comedy Central in 2008, so, God, how's that song go? And I deserve an 8, you're a 7, it's pretty good, but it's not great. That's the key. I'm not asking for a 10 to be my mate, but I know in my heart that I deserve an 8. Yep, to me, that's very honest. Katy Perry, Part of Me, is one of the biggest songs. People were recommending that to me. It's a solid song, but the video is absurd. She goes through a breakup and then joins the Marines. And then the last shot is she's covered in camouflage, but she still has mascara on her eyes. She's trying to look really tough and empowered, but it's one of the fucking stupidest things I've ever seen. If you just go through a breakup, don't join the military. You know, pump the brakes for a month. See if it's something you really want to do. And there's shots of, like, all women in the military, like, empowering themselves with, like, shooting guns. Yeah, that's not what the military's about, guys. It's really difficult. Very, very intense job. So if a man wrongs you, don't just run to a recruiter, because 2 years deep in Afghanistan, you may realize that he was just a dumbass and you want to go home. All right, here's one that I like, because again, not a lot of promises.
Oh my love, my darling, I've hung. Lonely time, and time goes by so slowly, and time can do so much. Are you still mine?
That's great. I mean, it's just he really wants a chick. There's been a lot of time. You know what? It's almost weird. That's almost a response to what's her name? The Jar Full of Hearts. It's almost like the Legend's response. So she's like,
who do you think you are? Running round, leaving scars, collecting your jar of hearts, tearing love apart.
Because one of the things is time has passed, and he keeps asking about her in other lyrics. And he's like, his response is,
oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch. And time goes by so slowly. Are you still mine?
That is hilarious. Because that's like Elvis basically being like, singing this to just one of the thousands of women he's fucked, and he's basically like, I kind of want to fuck you again, and I know a lot of time's been gone by, but I can't stop thinking about it. Will you still fuck me? And she wanted a relationship, so she's super pissed off. It's almost like that I Will Survive song, or You're So Arrogant, You Probably Think This Song Is About You. Does no one point out the fact that they are about him? That song is about him. You probably think this song is about you. You're so vain. It is about him. He's right. The vain guy's right. Okay, here's Coldplay. This is called The Scientist. I love this song because it's vague. It's vague. Vague is key, everyone. It goes,
come up to meet you, tell you I'm sorry. Don't know how lovely you are. I had to find you, tell you I need you, tell you I set you apart. Running in circles, chasing our tails, heads on the sides apart.
That's beautiful because there's nothing said. I mean, that's the key to a good love song, is he's saying, I come up to see you to tell you I'm sorry. You don't know how lovely you are. That's beautiful because everyone's felt that. Everyone's been like, I'm sorry. You look great. I'm sorry. And everything else is just pretty much gibberish. And that's why it's, you can't deconstruct it to bullshit. You know, like, I got you, babe, Sonny and Cher. You know, Sonny beat the shit out of Cher and then they got divorced and he hit a tree skiing and died. That's why it's all about vague. Don't say who it's about. Don't say anything like exact. Or else it's comedic. That's how I see it. Yeah, like Clapton, remember? I look all right? And I say, yes, you look wonderful tonight. That's perfect. Because that's so honest. It gives you chills. It's like, she asked me, do I look all right? And I say, yeah, you look wonderful tonight. It's great. Everyone knows that feeling. There's not all these like high and mighty bullshit. Like My Heart Will Go On and all this fucking horse shit. Okay, I wrote my own song. This is a song about like being, you know, we'll see. I never knew you liked me. I never thought you cared. I was gonna touch you, but I was scared. I thought that we were just friends. I thought that was the case. Until you texted me a winky face. And I said, ha ha. And you said, hee hee hee. I said, come over and fuck me, ha ha, hee hee. Cause the smiley face means you're happy, the frowny means you're sad. Blushy face means you're blushing, but the winky face means you're glad to see my wiener. You're just winking at my wiener, yeah. Winky, 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 at my dinky, dinky, dinky. Sucky, 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 winky, fucky, winky, sucky, winky, fucky. Yeah, I mean, to me, that's just as good of a love song because it's about being a good guy. It's about consent. It's about waiting till you see, you know, what's someone likes you or not. And I think in modern communication, the ha-ha and the hee-hee is the way to say something that you normally wouldn't say and you're covered. Like a winky face, like a smiley face is like, I'm happy. A winky face is like, I'm happy with a boner. And women do the same thing. It's like winky means like, I might be down. And then when you pursue it and you're like, let's fuck, haha. If they say, what are you talking about? I'm your boss. You can be like, I'm just kidding, haha. But if they're down, you're down too. The haha is basically just like, I'm driving my car, but I'm wearing a seatbelt. So that to me is, and I'm currently in a relationship. So that's why my love songs are more about how to love a woman, you know, about dealing with bad dreams, shit like that. Because the pursuit for me isn't really a thing anymore. Like where it's like, it used to be, you know, the winky face song or the breakup song, you know, you're a 7, I deserve an 8. But now it's about making it work. And I think that my songs are just as loving as theirs. Okay, here's another one. This is another love song I wrote. You're in a Walgreens and your girl is looking sweet. So you take her to the back of the store, to the blood pressure seat. You take her hand, rub it soft, and you look into her eyes. Before you know it, her hand is moving up your thigh. She's giving you an over-the-pants hand job in a Walgreens. Over-the-pants hand job in a Walgreens. Over-the-pants hand job in a Walgreens. OTPHJ, you were discreet. The clerk didn't know what you were up to. But maybe it's time to go. 'cause they got a queen up an aisle too. To me, that's just as real. Because you hear more complaints from couples about that it's not spontaneous anymore, or that the spark is gone. That's about a couple who reconnects in a Walgreens. They're together. The girl's looking sweet. She starts rubbing his hammer over his pants. Because all you need is over the pants. Because that signifies, yeah, this is hot. And it's like she can't keep her hands off him and he can't keep her hands off her. So he takes her to the blood pressure machine and they get down to business right there. They're together in that story. I think that's romantic as fuck. Titanic isn't romantic. The Notebook isn't romantic. That's about an obsessive, compulsive man who he fucked a girl one time. She leaves him for another guy and he goes to Home Depot and builds a house and starts rowing a boat. It's insane. Twilight's about two gay guys fighting over a girl with autism. I mean, how that's romance? No. An OTPHJ in a Walgreens is romance. I find the most romantic music the ones with no words, like the Amelie soundtrack. That's beautiful. I think that's one of the appeals of Ryan Gosling, is with no words, you can put anything you want in it. Like, that song has no words. So those emotions, you can apply whatever is going on in your life into that. Just like Ryan Gosling in a lot of these movies will say nothing and just stare. And then women can put whatever they want in his mind. And that's like really smart to do. Because nothing will make you feel more than your own point of view. And that's one of the reasons there's war and all this shit, because people don't understand other people's point of view. And I think one of the biggest challenges in being in a committed relationship is knowing that someone else's point of view is like right there with up there with yours at this point, with maintaining homeostasis in the home. Because you can, it's not about sex. Everyone talks about sex. It's like, oh, I just want to be single. I want to be free because I want to fuck. It's like, no, it's not about fucking. If you really love fucking, you pick one person and fuck them a ton. Because they'll fuck you all the time. What it's about is not having to deal with someone else's point of view. And that's what's scary about relationships. And that's what growing up is. It's being like, okay, I'll look at it from your eyes. Because it's so common that someone will say something and you're like, fuck you. Like, you're wrong. It's like, to them, they're not wrong. Just like to you, you're not wrong. And you seriously have to figure out where the fuck they're coming from. And I feel like that is a journey that never will end. Just like this podcast, Why Don't They Laugh? Is about my journey to find out what makes people laugh. Because apparently it never ends. I'll do jokes that I think are the funniest thing in the world and it doesn't get a laugh. I wrote a song a while ago about brown babies, about how Brazilians have the best genetics because the more you fuck with other races, the better your kid is, because it has like the speed of a black guy and the focus of an Asian and the fucking organization of a white and you know, the work ethic of a Mexican. It didn't work. I don't know. And then I saw Neil Brennan do a bit like that, and he wrote his before me. I just didn't know. That happens sometimes. It's not like he did my bit. I'm sure he did his first. He's one of the most ethical joke writers. If he hears a joke that's anywhere near one of his, he like abandons his joke to a degree that I think it's unbelievable how much ethics that guy has. But his works when he does it in stand-up. I wrote mine because my girl's Mexican and I was like thinking about, you know, and Brazilians like are fucking avatars. So maybe it was because it was a song. I just didn't really want to put enough effort. Oh, here, my racism song works only in certain crowds. I have to have a diverse crowd. If it's an all-white crowd, it bombs. If it's a black crowd, it kills. The best crowd is diverse. It goes, black dudes with more than one pit bull scare the shit out of me. But a black guy with a cell phone on his belt, I trust. A black guy wearing a fanny pack is okay. And it doesn't matter if you're black or white. If you're jamming to, I don't know, it's been a while since I've done it. And then it's like, white dudes with teardrop tattoos scare the shit out of me. White dudes from Idaho scare the shit out of me. But a white guy that is wearing a baby Bjorn, I trust. And then you could do any, and then I would take requests from the crowd where they're like, Native American. I'm like, Native American after a half a beer scares the shit out of me. Or they'll be like, Asian. I'm like, Asians with really long fingernails scare the shit out of me. But an Asian I trust with a TI-83. I mean, the whole joke is it's culture, not race. But an all-white crowd just can't get their shit together. Their fucking weirdness just overpowers it sometimes. I'm gonna wrap it up soon. I'm going to put this up as soon as possible. So I'm in Jacksonville, Florida this weekend at the Comedy Zone. I'm at Throckmorton Theater September 5th in Mills Valley outside of San Fran. I'm doing Madison, Wisconsin, Comedy on State in the middle of September. One of my favorite clubs ever. Yeah, and Mills Valley is one of my favorite theaters ever. I got introduced to it through one of my friends. She had me come up there, and then I just kept in touch with them. And it's where, like, Robin Williams used to always play and Dana Carvey and all that. It's just, like, this really, like, homey, just wonderful place that I'll take gigs there just to go on vacation, you know. It's unbelievable. Everyone's really smart. Ontario Improv, which is great because I can drive home every night to L.A. I'm doing that also in September at some point. October 1st through the 4th, Pittsburgh Improv. My people, Pittsburgh. Randy in the Morning, DVE. I was on Sullivan and Son for 3 years. Pittsburgh was good to me. We're on a show set in Pittsburgh. Love you guys. And then my Huge Pianist tour really kicks in, where I'm doing all these smaller theater, rock club venues where I got to sell my own tickets. I can't rely on comedy clubs to do the marketing for me, so I got to really push this shit. I'm doing Albany at the Linda, because I went to school near Albany. I'm from upstate New York. Very pumped about that. I'm doing Toronto, the Drake Hotel. I'm doing Burlington, Higher Ground. I saw DJ Shadow there in the late 90s. I believe I was on mushrooms. Very cool venue. I'm doing Vienna, Virginia at, I can't remember the venue, but it's all on owenbenjamin.com/tour. I'm doing Brooklyn, again, venue. I just can't remember. Lancaster, I'm doing. I'm also doing Philadelphia, Milk Boy. I'm also doing Providence, Rhode Island at the Comedy Connection, Columbus weekend, which I love that place. It used to be a bank. It's fucking trippy and awesome. So hit me. Why Didn't They Laugh? podcast@gmail.com. Why Didn't They Laugh? Facebook. Hashtag W, why didn't they laugh? WDT, whatever that is. I can't think of it in my head. On Twitter, spread this fucker. Rate it. Subscribe. That helps us. That helps us keep going. Helps us keep sponsors. And I originally made this because I wanted an excuse to try new material. Bombing sucks. Bombing is like being rejected when you hit on somebody. It hurts. Or being fired. And I have 2 hours of comedy that I know works every fucking time. And I could have done that for the rest of my life and just sucked. I didn't want to search for the laugh. I didn't want to just seek approval. I wanted to actually see this thing as art. I'm 35 now. I don't want to just have a crowd approve me. I want to be good. I want to be like the people I look up to. And there's so many comics I look up to. And one of the main things you see is that they keep trying new shit. So I kind of tricked my brain into wanting to bomb so that I can do this podcast. In doing so, I'm becoming a better comic, and it's been wonderful because it gives me a reason to bomb a joke and then continue, and I'm not scared of it anymore. And ironically, I'm bombing less and less with new jokes I write because I almost want to bomb so that I can do a podcast about the human nature behind a bomb. My guests have been insanely great. They're only going to get better. but only going to get better in the sense that there's going to be people I've never met and things that I've never learned about. And people also like when I recommend books on here. So lately I've been getting into autism reading. There's my mom just sent me a book called Born on a Blue Day. So I'm going to get really into that because I'm starting to realize that I'm a little on the spectrum, and I think most people are. Routines and rhythms and patterns to avoid the complexities of life. I didn't talk till I was, 2.5, 3 years old. All I did is play the piano. And I think nowadays I would be have deemed autistic. Don't get me wrong. One of the biggest problems with talking about the benefits of being on the spectrum or autism is people with severely autistic children start thinking that it's their fault and only if there's something they can do, blah, blah, which is bullshit. There's levels. There's all kinds of different. Autism is one of the biggest umbrella statements you can make. And it almost to the point of it being meaningless. Like there's some people that can never talk and they never will talk. And there's other people that I play piano by ear. I played since I was a child because I did it 10 hours a day because I didn't want to look in people's eyes because I thought everything was overwhelming. That's a bit of it. That's on the spectrum. That's a touch. But if you have an autistic child, I'm not saying that, you know, one day he's just going to start talking and never stop like me. Maybe not. Who knows? All I know, and I'm saying this from someone who does not know what it's like to have that, is the best we can do is just be like, this is how they are. It's kind of like being in a relationship. My girl's an engineer. Her fucking brain works sometimes in ways that I can't comprehend. And that's just part of life, is accepting. And just like me, I'm a disaster. Thank you all for listening. We were featured on the front page of Stitcher this week next to Doug Benson, who's my man. I just did Getting Doug with High. I smoked weed with him and Craig Robinson. That was really intense. I smoke weed like once a year maybe, and I like it. But I just can't really do it on a day-to-day because then I have no ambition to do anything. I get too relaxed. All right, guys. This has been fun. Peace.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.